Yes, come on. Yeah. Yeah, just press into that. Lord, we thank you that you are, man, you're a God of the miracle. Lord, that miracle is the fact that you are with us, man. What a miracle that is, that God has chosen to be in the midst of humanity, that God would still save like we sang about, that God would waken us up to his glory and his goodness. And so, Lord, would you this morning awaken us to, man, your thoughts towards us, your heart towards humanity and this earth. Would you wake us up that we would respond to you and that we would say yes to you in all of our things that we do, all the ways that we think, all the words that we say. Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather together. We thank you, Jesus. You are the honored guest. Man, we want to bless you above everybody else. But Lord, I thank you that you placed us in a community where we can stir one another up to faith and good works and love. And Lord, I pray that today would be an encouragement, that you would restore some hope today, that you would give us a vision for what it looks like to be your child. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can we honor the band this morning? Just give them a round of applause. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Band, all you guys are incredible. Man, anybody lose an hour of sleep last night? Anybody at all? Who was supposed to be here at 8:30, but you just showed up? Anybody? A couple of y'all? Yeah, a couple of you. I see a couple of you out there. Man, I hope you're having a good weekend so far. My wife is doing the Emmaus weekend right now, and so I've had our three kiddos solo, so pray for me. I'm almost to the end there. They have changed underwear at least one time, I think, over the last 3 days, I think. But it's been a good weekend, but God's grace allowed me to get them on time here this morning. And man, it's so good. Also, we've got some of Kate's family down front here. We got her grandma, her aunt, her cousin here from Texas, from the nation of Texas, or the state of Texas, whatever you want to call it. So man, honored that they're here with us for a few days. Love you guys so much. So grateful for you for making the drive up here. Man, today is a continuation of this thought of what is the kingdom of God. We started this last week. It's something I'm deeply passionate about. I believe it's something that Jesus, it was the primary teaching of Jesus, was the kingdom of God. And it was his first message that he ever gave. We see this in Mark 1:15. You can see it in Matthew. But in Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled. Like right now, it's here. And he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. So he says, repent and believe in the gospel, in the good news. This is what we see Jesus preach from the very beginning, the kingdom of God. And so today, I want to unpack this understanding of what is the kingdom. And if you remember what the kingdom is, it is really simply put, it is the rule and reign of God. It's whenever we come into alignment with God and his heart, when we yield to him, whether that's with our lives, if we give our lives to Jesus, we say, man, I forgive me. I want to follow you. You're my king. When we do that, the kingdom of God has come. Amen to that, right? But it also happens when we walk the earth and when we align with God's heart, what's in heaven becomes a reality on the earth. The kingdom of God is literally at hand. It's near. It's right here in our midst. And so today, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about how the kingdom of God is now, right here, in this moment. So to help us understand, though, I want us to take a step back, and I want us to see kind of the big picture of history of what God is doing, the story that God is writing throughout all of humanity. Now, if you got a feed on the way in here, you see your notes. Well, on the back, there's a little surprise for you. So if you have your notes, go ahead and pull those out. Flip it over to the back. I've got a little chart on there. I've also got it on the screen. It's a little small to see on the screen, so we went ahead and printed it. And then I'll break down each one of these, but I want to show you what is the arc of God's plan in all of creation. What is God doing in the past? What will he do in the future? And today, I really want to go after what is he doing right here, right now, in the Tri-Cities, in your life. What does the kingdom of God look like? Now, the first thing you'll see on this piece of paper that you have, or maybe you can see over here, is the top. It says, God reigns and God rules. And there's arrows that go both ways. So infinity both ways. So before God ever created the universe, let me just make a clear statement. God reigned. Anybody else agree with that? So let me just make another definitive statement. For all of eternity in the future, God is going to rule and reign. Can somebody say amen to that, right? And so here's what we see even in the Psalms, that God established his throne in the heavens, that everything is under his rule and his reign and his authority. It always has been and always will be, including today. God is above all and in all. And that means in the heavenly realm, there's no question of any being that's in heaven that is wondering who's in control. Every angel, yep, got it. He's king. Every person that's died and gone ahead and is now in the presence of God, there's no question, who is king? No, that's him right there on the throne. He's the ruler. There is no question in the heavenly who's it, the ruler, and who is the one that reigns. Now what's interesting in God's infinite wisdom and infinite glory and infinite love, he created the earth and everything in it. And we see this in the first box, if you're following along. The first box says, Genesis 1, that God reigns through fellowship with humanity. Now, this is extremely important. The God who reigns over all things, in all things, that God decided in his infinite wisdom to bring about the rule of heaven, the rule of the kingdom of God to earth, not just by doing it, but by actually partnering with humanity to make it a reality on the earth. This is what we see in Genesis chapter 1, this is the creation story. God made us in his image. Every single person in this room, every person on the earth that's ever been conceived is made in the image of God. And what's interesting, after he says that he made us in his image, he says that he gives them authority and dominion over the entire earth. Do you know what authority and dominion sounds like? It sounds like kingship. See, God, who is king over all, he actually decided in Genesis chapter 1 when he made all of creation and then capped it off with humanity, he said, I'm going to bring my rule and my reign to the earth through people. This was God's design from the very beginning, to dwell with people in fellowship and to bring about heaven's heart to earth through humanity. And so that's what we see, perfect communion. Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. They're called to go and to cultivate, to subdue the earth, to have dominion, not dominate, by the way. Not dominate, actually to cultivate, to actually bring beauty, to actually bring order. This is what humanity, our role was from the very beginning. But not too far in this narrative that God is writing, we see that Adam and Eve, they heard something in their ear. And I think it's honestly something that all of us have heard at one time or another. Adam and Eve, you're not enough. I don't know about you, but that's a whisper I don't have to think too hard about. I've heard that whisper. Anybody else ever heard that whisper before, if we're just being honest? Like, I'm not enough. And so what do we do as humanity when I believe I'm not enough? What do? I got to do more, right? So in church world, if I feel like I'm not enough, I got to go sign up for everything. I got to read my Bible, 10 chapters a day. I got to go and do all these things. I got to serve in every ministry. I'm not enough. And so I got to do more. And this is really where it all began. Adam and Eve hear the whisper of Satan, the same whisper he's whispering today. He's not new, no new tricks. He's doing the same thing. You're not enough, you're not enough. And they say, you know what? Maybe I'm not enough. Oh my goodness, maybe I'm missing out. You know what? Maybe God is holding out on me. And so the one tree that God said don't eat of because he knew it was not best for them, they go and they take because they believe if they ate that, they would become something more than what they already were, which was enough. So they take the fruit, they eat it, and as they do, man, their worst dreams come out because they immediately recognize then they were naked, and it says they begin to be ashamed, tons of shame, tons of guilt, and tons of fear. And so what do? They run from God. They hide behind a tree, they cover themselves. Yet we see God, he doesn't say, sit back and say, hey, when you guys get your act together, come get me. He actually goes to meet them in their nakedness, in their brokenness, in their fear, in their guilt, and in their shame. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that comes and gets us? Anybody else excited about that? We serve a God that saves. He rescues us. He doesn't sit there and say, hey, you go get your own life raft. No. God actually shows up rowing the life raft. And he says, come on, get aboard. And so he comes to them in their brokenness, in their nakedness, and he meets them there. I love that's the God we serve. But in this time, we see that humanity separates from God and his ways. God doesn't separate from us, but we separate from God and his ways. And so we see this brokenness that enters into the world and continues today. And then from Genesis chapter 3, we move on throughout the Old Testament that God is still beginning to restore things and beginning to try to put together a people. And so he chooses Abram to be the beginning of this new people that are going to be called by his name. Abram becomes Abraham. And he tells Abram in Genesis, I think it's chapter 12, he says that, I am going to bless you. Can you imagine God telling you that? I'm going to bless you. But he said, here's the thing. I'm going to bless you so that you can bless all the people of the world. That was the mandate that God put on Abram's life. This was the origination of the people of God. And so we see that in this third box that God chooses a people and he dwells with them, but he dwells with them. And there's a really important word at the bottom. It says that they have limited fellowship with God. It's no longer perfect communion like it was in the garden where Adam and Eve were. Now there's a limited fellowship. Maybe one person goes and interacts with God to some degree, or maybe when they offer the sacrifice of atonement, their sins are forgiven. And so they enter back into fellowship with God, but it's not what God originally designed. It falls short of the glory that God intended for you and I to live. Does that make sense to you guys? And so we see there, but then thankfully we zoom through. You didn't know you were gonna get the whole Bible in a couple minutes here. We zoom through all the wisdom literature, poetry, the major prophets, the minor prophets, and then we get to the New Testament and we're introduced to Jesus, King Jesus. And he comes on the scene and he has one primary message. The good news of the kingdom of God is here right now in your midst. It has arrived. And remember last week we said, what is the good news of this kingdom? It's that God is restoring all things. So this is the message that Jesus gave. He walked the earth expressing the will of the Father who's in heaven on earth. He only did what he heard the Father see or saw the Father do. He only said what he heard the Father say. And so Jesus walks the earth, and then we know that he died and 3 days later raised again. 40 days later, he ascended up to heaven where he is still today at the right hand of the Father in a place of honor and power and interceding. He's praying for you. So if you're wondering, anybody praying for you, man, take heart. Jesus is praying for you. Oh, that's so much better than my prayers, by the way. So much better than your prayers. Jesus, the King, is interceding on our behalf. Just let that give you some hope this morning. And then we get to this next box, the next to last box. And this is where we're going to spend most of the time today. So I don't want to touch too much on it by now. But this is really after the ascension of Jesus and in the book of Acts in chapter 1, all the way to present day. We're in this season of history. 2,000 plus years, we've been in this season. And this season is where God has ordained that through Jesus, we would be made right with God so that our fellowship with God is restored. And now we would bring the kingdom to the earth. Does that sound familiar? Sounds a little bit like Genesis chapter 1, the today. But thankfully, that's not the last box. Anybody else excited about this last box here? Let me just read you this last box. This is Revelation 21. And this, man, somebody better get a little excited about this, man. Somebody might even stand up. Man, I don't know about this, but we'll see if we get a little crazy up in here at church today. Let me just read you. This is where we're all heading. So if you're wondering, like, who's going to win the election? I don't know, but here's what I know. One day, this is going to be all of our reality. Let me just read this. This is Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more, and I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Now listen to what's going to happen. This is a future reality. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Anybody, that sound good to them this morning? Every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Somebody say thank you, Jesus, to that. Can we get a little excited about this? This is our future inheritance, that there's no longer death. Neither shall there be mourning, no more crying, no more pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is our future. This is what we have, but we're not there yet. This is in Revelation 21. After Jesus comes back, this is what we're going to experience. And what I love about this picture, it's heaven coming down to the new earth. It's really the fulfillment of what God had a plan all the time, that he would bring his rule and reign to the earth through fellowship with humanity. Now here's what we got to see, the big picture. So we started in Genesis chapter 1, right here, Genesis chapter 1. God created us, humanity, and his desire was to bring his will, his rule and reign through humanity to cover the earth. Okay, that's Genesis chapter 1, right? Now, if we follow the arc of Scripture, you see it on the next slide, the arc of Scripture all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. Today, we're somewhere back here. But in the future, do you know what God's going to do? Going to bring the reality of heaven to this earth and gonna fill the earth through fellowship with humanity. This is the story of God. Now the challenge is we're not in Genesis chapter 1 and we're not in Revelation 21 yet. Yeah, although I think we're getting closer. I can say with confidence we are one day closer to Jesus coming than we were yesterday. Amen to that? So we're not there yet, but here's where we're at. We're in the next to last phase. And here's what I want us to know here, is we are living in the already, but not yet. We're in the already, but not yet. That terminology really came from the Vineyard churches, and I think they have a great understanding of kingdom theology. A lot of this came from a guy named George Ladd way, way back, but the Vineyard movement has put together some incredible doctrine and understanding around the kingdom, and they coined this phrase that we live in the already, but not yet. What do I mean? Well, what Jesus says is the kingdom of God is here. It's the rule and reign is here right now. And so, man, he brought that to the earth, but we still don't see the fulfillment of Revelation 21. I don't know about you, but not all my life feels like Revelation 21, right? Like, here's the thing. As your pastor, I get a chance to pray for some people. Man, and sometimes I pray that they're healed, and by God's grace, the Spirit comes in and he supernaturally heals them. And I dance and thank God for that. It's such an incredible thing that we do. But here's the thing. I pray for a lot of people and there's no noticeable change. You know why? Because we live in the already, but not fully yet. We live that the kingdom has come, but it's also coming. This is the tension that we walk in. That's why when I'm in my office and I'm praying for a husband and wife that are just not seeing eye to eye, they're not doing well. And there's sometimes where I walk with them and we set our eyes on Jesus. We invite the Spirit to fill us up and to work in our lives and to bring humility, that sometimes there is restoration. And it's, yes, God, woo! But all too often, I sit down with a couple and that marriage dissolves and ends in divorce. And I'm brokenhearted, and there's lots of brokenness. Why is that? Because we live in the already, but the not yet. This is the tension that we as kingdom people walk in, that there's times when we see the kingdom come fully. Man, yes, man, that was God, yes. But there's other times, honestly, like our community is dealing with right now with baby Evelyn. Let me just tell you, there's never going to be a headline in heaven of a story like baby Evelyn. Never gonna happen. A 15-month-old that likely they found the remains of, let me just tell you, that's not gonna be a reality and a possibility in heaven. And so we walk this tension of, man, I've received the kingdom. The kingdom now is here because I've yielded my life to God and I'm walking the earth and I wanna see the kingdom, but yet there's times in life where I don't quite see that happen. And so we live in that tension. And this is what I love about Jesus. When he came, he said, the kingdom of God is now. And what did Jesus do? He modeled for us what it looked like to be a man, fully human, fully God, but fully human, to walk the earth, connected to the Father through the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus walked, let me tell you, he ushered in the reality of heaven everywhere he went. Now, let me just tell you, people got sick and died when Jesus walked the earth. People that Jesus raised from the dead still died one day. You know why? We live in the already, but not fully, right? This is the tension that we walked in, and this is really the tension that Jesus actually taught us to pray. If you have your Bible and you want to open up to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to see this story or this teaching that Jesus gave that is profound and I think closely aligns with what we're talking about today, the tension that we live in the already but then not yet. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is still coming. That Jesus ushered in the kingdom at his first coming, but his second coming, he's going to usher in the fullness of the kingdom and it will come throughout all the earth. It's going to be glorious, But in chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus is teaching a message to a bunch of people. And one of the key points that he teaches them is how to pray. How to pray. How do we pray? And so these are the words of Jesus, chapter 6, starting in verse 9. He says, pray then like this. This is how Jesus said to pray. Our Father in heaven. Let's just stop there for a second. Do you love that Jesus taught them to pray in community? Like, can we just take a moment to just not glaze over that? Our Father who's in heaven. So there's a plurality that Jesus is inferring that we are going to pray together. That's why a couple weeks ago I talked about us being a house of prayer. Why? Because we're going to pray together because it's our Father. Not just my Father. He is my Father. He's your Father, but we're actually called to pray together to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Set apart. Reverence to you. And then verse 10, this is where we're going to see. It says, your kingdom come. And so it's a plurality of who we're talking to, but it's a singularity of what we're actually asking. It's his kingdom come. It says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this verse will mess with some theologies. This verse will mess things up because what Jesus is inferring that there are things on the earth that are not aligned with God's heart. Now, does that mean that God is not sovereign? No. Remember that first line? God is overall. He rules overall. But let me just tell you real quick. Not everything that happens on the earth is aligned with God's will. Case in point, baby Evelyn, not God's desire that she would die. It's not. Let me tell you what else is not God's desire. Cancer. You know why I say that? Because cancer was never part of Genesis chapter 1. Never part of Genesis chapter 1. And you know what else cancer is not part of? Revelation 21. God's full desire and will. Genesis 1, it's there in the scripture. Revelation 21, guess what's not there? Cancer. There's no divorce. There's no separation, there's no racism, there's no gender inequality, there's no brokenness, there's no sickness, none of that is there. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, listen, there's a reality in heaven, there's a rule and reign of God, and our desire is that it would become a reality here and now, because not everything that's happening is actually God's heart. This is what we see Jesus not only teach us to preach or to pray, but actually how he lived his life. He walked around, and what did he do? He ushered in the kingdom of God. He saw somebody who was sick. They asked him to be healed, and he healed them. You know what that was? The kingdom of God breaking in. Somebody who was believing lies about themselves, had a bad identity, a false identity about themselves, and Jesus spoke into them, got their eyes up, looked at them, and said, listen, you are my daughter. Guess what that was? The kingdom of God breaking in. And what's incredible is that Jesus, he modeled this life for us, and then he invites us to follow his lead. This is what we see in Matthew 24. This is Jesus talking about the end days and when it's drawing close to the end. And this is what Matthew 24 says. Jesus says, in this gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the rule and reign of God, it will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. See, Jesus actually has invited you and me as kingdom people to be a people that advance his rule and reign on the earth everywhere we go. That's why we see in Matthew 28 what most of us know as the Great Commission, kind of one of the final things that Jesus gave us. It says this, it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I love that they included that text in there. That some of those, even though they saw Jesus, they knew Jesus, they still doubted. That gives a lot of hope to you and me. I don't know about you, but I mean, there's days where I'm like, man, what in the world? I got some doubts. And what's incredible is Jesus still shows up and shows himself to them. So he goes on and says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, in the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end. This is what many would say is our mission as a church. This is our co-mission, right? I heard a pastor this week give this kind of short one-liner. I'd love for you to write it down or take a picture of the screen. This is what he said. He says that we are co-missioned. I love that we're co-missioned. It's actually a partnership with God. It's not, hey, go do your thing. No. It's actually, come with me. That's Jesus. Come with me. I want to work with you. That's the co-mission. He says we are co-missioned as we are in submission, yielded to his rule and reign, to the primary mission of God. This is our role as the church, as the people of God, that we would be commissioned as we come under submission to the primary mission of God. And what is the primary mission of God? I would say we see it in Genesis chapter 1. We see it in Revelation chapter 1. It's to restore his rule and reign on the earth through fellowship with humanity. And this is the invitation that each one of us have. And this really changes how we view our purpose and how we view missions, because I think maybe many of you have raised in churches, and I've been in churches where missions is an event, right? It's I go to another place, maybe a country or maybe somewhere else that usually it's got to check off. You know, they like make less money than me. They don't have as much food or water. They're usually a different color. That's how we view it. I'm not saying that's right, but usually they look different than me. They talk different than me. And then I go for a week and I spend my week, and somehow I check the box after missions. But do you think really Jesus came to die and to invite us into a 1 out of 52 week strategy for his kingdom to come on the earth? Now just hear me. There's nothing wrong with short-term mission trips. I love them. I've been a part of many and benefited from them. But is that really what God has called us to? Is that possibly? Is there something more than that? And I would say this. This is what I define mission as. This is how our church defines mission. I think it's going to be up on the screen. Mission is this. It is partnering with God to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom where the kingdom is not yet fully established. See, this understanding of mission is so much bigger than I got to go to a foreign land or I got to be part of a ministry here locally. All those are good and they can be expressions of missions, but this is a much more accurate, biblical, I think, definition of mission. That it is that we are invited to partner with God and fellowship with God to bring about his kingdom where the kingdom is not. And so here's a question for you. Is the kingdom of God fully established in your family? The answer is no. Is the kingdom of God fully established at your place of work? The answer is no. Is the kingdom of God fully established on the street where you live? No. So you know what that means? God is inviting you to bring his rule and reign everywhere you go. See, that's a whole different way of looking at the kingdom now, understanding. And today I want to close by giving you a couple examples of what does this look like. And one of the examples from our own church is there's a principal that attends here. And he has gone through some transformation of understanding God, experiencing God, hearing God, and really become alive more than ever before. And as he's coming alive, as he's navigating what it means to be with God and fellowship with God, he was looking at his school situation and saying, you know what, man, there's some deep brokenness here. How many of you know there's some brokenness in the school system? Anybody know that? Like there are kids that are believing so many lies about themselves. And he's recognized that, man, these lies that they're believing are really leading to some great damage. A lot of the kids on the fringes, a lot of the kids that would fall off, get suspended, or just start not doing well in school, they were the ones that he was like, man, there's got to be something that I can do. And so he began to pray about it. You know why? Because the kingdom comes through fellowship. This is what we see. You can't do it otherwise. It's only through fellowship with God. And so he begins to pray about it, and he felt like, man, he got a strategy and how to go to this. So he puts a program together for his school. It's doesn't have a bunch of Jesus lingo in it because that would get him fired. But let me just remind you, when truth shows up in a school, guess who shows up with it? Jesus, because you know what his name is? The truth, the way, the life. And so, man, we don't need the Jesus language all over it, but he put together this program that invited some kids in to go through this mentorship kind of program. And one of the things that he does, and I love it, is he has them go into a room, and all over the room he's got different pieces of paper on the ground, and they're all lies that the kids believe, many of them believe. So maybe on this one it's unworthy. Maybe on this one it's failure. Maybe it's on this one unlovable. maybe on this one is destined to be unemployed. And he has these kids go in and he says, hey, go stand on whichever one you feel most resonates in here that you sense all the time. And so the kids go in and man, they begin to read all these. And what's crazy is these kids already know these things. They already have these voices in their head, whether it's coming from their parents or whether it's coming from the enemy, whether it's coming from culture. Man, our kids hear these things. And so he has them do that, but then he doesn't leave them there. That would be really cruel to say, yeah, you are that. No, no, the truth is he has them come back and he has them flip over the thing. And it actually says the truth of what they are, that you think they're not valuable, but the truth is that you are valuable. You think you're unlovable, but on the other side of that page is that you are actually greatly loved by me as your principal and many of the teachers. And you know what happens? A great exchange happens in that moment. A lie is traded for truth. And what I'm hearing happening as this is ongoing is that kids are getting some hope back, are being transformed. And you know what's happening in his school? The kingdom of God is coming now. I was sitting with my barber this week. Actually, I wasn't sitting with him. I was sitting in his chair. He was cutting my hair this week. And just so proud of him, man. Just so proud of what he's doing and how he's working. And he just kept saying, man, Derek, I don't know why I've been so blessed. I don't understand why God is just pouring out his favor on me. And my simple answer is he loves you. It's not because you're doing a lot of things. It's not because you're doing the right things. It's I believe that God loves you first and foremost. And he's like, man, I want my business. I want this to be honoring to God. And I said, man, that's so good. I love your heart, man. And I'm sitting there cutting my hair. And he didn't say these words, but as I'm studying and as I'm thinking, I'm thinking like what he's asking is he wants to see the rule and reign of God to come in his barbershop. That's what he's asking. He didn't use those words. Like that's not normal words, but he wants the kingdom of God to come. And so he doesn't know. And so I said, hey, you know what? Like, here's the thing. God has given you so much influence. He's given you like unemployed young kids, unemployed adults, all the way to executive levels at a company. You've got everything in between. And here's the thing. You've got a captive audience because they can't get up in the middle of your haircut because they're going to look like a fool walking out of here. So they can't leave. It's like on an airplane. You can start talking to somebody about Jesus. They can't go anywhere. But he's got them there. And I said, man, like what if you wanted to change how a barbershop or a salon was run? I don't know about you, but man, you hear stories about salons, gossip, 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 gossip. Not all of them, but that's the stereotype, very stereotype. And I said, man, what if you just change the conversation? Like, what if you ask some questions? What if you, instead of getting down in the pit with somebody, what if you helped somebody get their eyes up and you spoke life and truth over them? What would happen? I think this would happen. The kingdom of God would come right there. See, the kingdom is coming, but man, guys, it's here. And so what would it look like this week for you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth in my job, in my sphere of influence, in my family, as it is in heaven, and begin dreaming with him again of what that could look like. Because you're all invited, we are all invited to bring the rule and reign of God to the earth. This is the desire of the Father, and this is the invitation that all of us have. Now, as I was preparing and praying, I just felt just a soft spot, especially talking about this principle that I want to pray just as a community over anybody who's in education. So as we close up today, if you're in education in any way, you work for a school, you're in the office, you're a teacher, you're an aide, whatever, you're a coach, would you just pop up to your feet real quick? We're going to pray over you real quick. Just pop up to your feet. If you're in education whatsoever, up in the balcony, anybody in education, yeah, can we honor these men and women real quick? Just say thank you. Just stay standing, stay standing. Here is what we're going to pray at church as a community over these that are standing. We're going to pray that this week they would have dreams with God. Not like nighttime dreams, but they would begin to dream again and to see what could be in their classroom, in their school system, and whatever area of influence they have. Here's the thing, teachers and educators, we know your job is really hard. It's just really hard, man. This is hard. You're asked to do more than you've been ever asked to do. You're asked to give more than you ever have, even out of your own pocket. And and you're asked to do certain things that keep you from doing. But here's my prayer for you this week, is that you would have restored back to you the reason you got into it to begin with. That you would begin to dream with God again. What would it look like for you to bring transformational change to the place that you have influence? And here's the good news for all of you. Jesus is not sending you to go do it alone. It's a co-mission. He's saying, have fellowship with me. This is the plan of God. If you're doing it apart from God, it's not his desire. So just with God, say, God, what does it look like for the kingdom of God to come in my classroom? What would it look like as I put this curriculum together for your rule and your reign to come? What would that look like for me to speak life over a kid instead of death? What would it look like to bring life into the student or the teacher lounge where oftentimes there's just downcast and frustration? What would it look like to be a person of hope? And so church, if you see somebody, can you just, man, just pray for them right now? I'm gonna pray over them as well. And so teachers, if you just wanna put your hands out just in a posture, you don't have to, but to receive, I just wanna pray a blessing over you. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the many educators that we have as part of this house that we call Christ Fellowship. Lord, we honor them. We honor them for their desire to first and foremost get into education to bring a change and bring a hopefulness to the next generation. Lord, thank you for the influence that's represented with all those standing up here. Lord, I pray that you would restore their hope in what you would like to see in their life, that you are inviting them into this incredible story where through fellowship with you, that they would be part of bringing the realities of heaven to their classroom, to their district, to their college. And so Lord, this week specifically, I just pray that you would kill any scarcity mindset and that you would show them your abundance. And Lord, I pray specifically that they would be able to dream again about what you may want to do in and through them as they lead this next generation. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the influence you've given us. May we honor you with it. In Jesus' powerful name, everybody said, amen, amen. We got our prayer ministry team. Thank you, guys. You guys can be seated. Thank you, guys. We got our ministry team that's going to be up here. And before we head out today, man, if you're like, man, I don't know what it looks like, but that sounds really, really appealing to me, that God actually wants to bring about change where I am, that he wants to bring about what's in heaven to earth. And so if that's you and you're like, I don't know what that looks like, or maybe you got an idea of what that looks like, but you're like, I want somebody to pray a blessing over that. Like, before we roll out to the parking lot, which you got plenty of time to get out there, just, we would love to pray for you. So if that's you, we would love to partner with you to seek the kingdom first. If you have any other needs today, we would love to pray. We believe that God is still the God that he always has been, that he still heals. And so if you have any needs whatsoever, we'll pray for you. And guys, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. We'll see you next weekend. God bless.